and welcome to Jukama Radio. I'm your co-host today, my name is Kevin. We are very pleased to have Daishi with us here again today. Daishi, may I ask how you are?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to talking with you.
Awesome. Today we're going to be talking about the hidden secrets of creating reality. And it's a pretty big topic. I think there are two items here that we could maybe try to define in what is reality and what is creation.
Wow. Big questions to start off. What is reality? That's a great question. I didn't expect that one. What is reality? Reality is the ever-unfolding situation that we're all seemingly perceiving together at once. And I don't think anyone really understands reality that well. I think we understand reality from the veils that we use and the filters we use to determine what reality is. And I think that's one of the problems why we feel reality is neither fair nor free, and we feel enslaved by it. That's one of the problems we need to solve. So reality itself is a perception of energy, and that energy seems to form itself into spaces of clumps and spaces of freedom. And for some reason, we're stuck in the clumps, and we want to get into the freedom spaces.
Awesome. With that, what would be the hidden secret of creating or creating within that reality? If it's an existing place, space, or dimension, how do we react in that or create in that?
That's a better question for me because I think I have a lot of playing time in that field. So I think it's like somebody asked me recently, what's the difference between a mystic and a scientist? And I said, nothing really, except that a scientist uses external tools to make theories about reality. And a mystic uses internal tools to have direct experiences within reality. And so I think there's a clash of both the mystic and the scientist coming, where the scientist finally figures out that they're not going to be able to use instruments external to them until they fix the internal instruments first. And there has to be some adjustments within. We know that we have bias when we see reality, and we've been imposed on by society a whole slew of ideas and concepts since we were born that shape and form what we see and how we see it. And it makes it unfair when we're asked how we can see reality clearly, or asked if we can see reality clearly, because we can't. We have too much going on in the unconscious that blocks or prevents us from seeing the right way. And I think that's the importance of understanding the path working in some respects, because it allows us to break away from those filters. And we begin to see that the reality that unfolds in front of us is really being created by us to some extent, because we are embedded in that reality. It's not that there's an awareness and that outside of it is some kind of matter or form and matter. It's that the awareness, just like in a dream environment, is participating in this thing. And so even if you're really skeptical about that, you have to agree that your perception and the way that it's filtered is the way you see reality. And it is the way you measure reality, whether it's good or bad or up or down, right or left, positive or negative. So we know that if we change those filters slightly, that reality changes, at least for us. So we could say that, well, the TV is still the shape and color of a TV, but I perceive it completely different than someone else. And if we're on the skeptical side of things, at least that's a big amount of change. So even if we don't believe that we're creating reality and we have nothing to do with it, you know, we're only creating a portion of it, a very small aspect of it, still modifying or changing those filters has a profound impact. And so we want to look at, how do I get there? How can I change and modify those filters so that I can make things at least appear to be better and less bondage-based and less enslaved by it and less dictated down from it, you know, and controlled by it in these things. So at least, how do I get to the filters? And that's what the path is about. It's about trying to get to those filters, making the right kinds of corrections and changes, and then looking out into the world, as I say, create and relate, and seeing if those changes are fundamental and they're everlasting, or if they're just temporal, or if they're going in the opposite direction. So just like a scientist, there's some modifications within. That's, we call that path, the path, or we call that, you know, evolution, or whatever we want to call it. Doesn't matter, X. But we make some changes within, we look without, and we use the rhythms and cycles outside of us to see if we've made real lasting change out there. And that's the scientific side of the evolutionary process.
Wow, that's fascinating. one of these filters, we've talked about filters and this idea before, the ego, when we are creating unconsciously or on this unconscious level through life, are we generating karma for ourselves or are we doing bad things in the unconscious?
That's a great question. And karma, again, simply is this word meaning action, but yeah, you're right. Is it embedding us deeper into the process of unconsciousness or is it embedding us further away from it? And what is that measurement or what is that instrument? And so we could say it's karma or there's some kind of piece that if I continually point my awareness to the unconscious, I can start to become conscious of it. And if you're conscious of unconsciousness, whatever that looks like, you suddenly realize how it's functioning and what its operation is. And that's kind of a discovery. Like, how am I operating when I'm not aware? Who's operating when I'm not aware? What's happening when I'm not aware? What's going on in my mind, in my thoughts, and in my actions and speech and the outside macrocosm when I'm really not aware? And that's the unconscious part of the creation. We're still creating in that space. We're just creating this kind of chaos because what comes up from that, we're not expecting. So in the conscious sliver, we're saying, I want a new car, I want a new job, I want a new spouse, and I want a bunch of, you know, toys, and I want to have fun. And then we look out in the world and we realize none of those things are happening, or they're happening in a haphazard way. We sit back and say, how is this functioning this way? Why am I looking toward these things, but yet the opposite results are happening? Either something or someone else is doing that, or I'm just totally unaware of my process. But regardless of how our philosophy of it is, we have to fix it. So it doesn't matter whether I say, well, it's God or it's intelligences or angels or demons or whatever it is affecting me, or it's my unconscious process. It doesn't matter what we call it. It needs to be addressed because if I don't address it, nothing's going to change. And if I keep doing the same thing again and again, expecting a different result, that's our definition of insanity. So we've got to look at this and understand it better. And that's the thing human beings are missing. They're missing that unconscious creating.
Wow. So this brings us into awareness and that awareness of the process or just the awareness of awareness or the isness of everything. When we come to this awareness, is that the point maybe where we have the ability to create? And in that creation, what is that? Are we doing anything? Are we just being?
That's a great question, deep question, because it's true. So there's an awareness there. And I call it ordinary awareness when it's veiled and shaped by the unconsciousness. Then I term it as an extraordinary awareness when we start to break through that unconscious process and start to bring that to light. There is the passive side of just watching. So the moment between thoughts is a place where there's just stillness and the ordinary awareness rests there. But that isn't an action space, really. It's just a space that we're holding to and cleaving to as we empower it to become more and more. So in other words, I'm making that empty space between thoughts, that true and real awareness space, empowered by focusing on it and seeing it and investigating it. So in that way, there's some action happening, but it's not typical action like we'd see in the world. I'm not walking from this place to that place or doing some kind of emotional sensation or feeling or sense or something like that. What I'm doing is I'm just maintaining awareness in single-pointed focus on the space that I've been missing the whole time. What's that space? That's the space where there's no activity. I am not interested in that space. I've been conditioned to be interested in the active spaces. So when the mind comes up with ideas, I flood off into that area. When the mind comes up with flavors and feelings and senses, I chase that and go after that. When the macrocosmic environment shows me all kinds of fun things, I physically run after those things. So I'm always chasing the place where there's movement, and I'm never, ever being in the place where there's stillness. But the thing is in the stillness is where everything's created from. That's the place where we need to go. That's the place where we make the aha. So we have to be able to condition ourselves to find that stillness and rest in it at first. And this is like the first phase of the process. And there's a whole application and approach to this. We teach it in the curriculum. But then there's a second phase. And that second phase is, now that I've established myself outside of the delusional or the ignorant movement where most human beings spend their whole lives chasing and running to and fro, now that I've conditioned myself to deeply saturate the empty space, that's become profound and I've realized that that's the creative place. That's where the seed goes and the water hits and the sprout grows. So I know that in the emptiness is actually the birthing of a moment by moment creative process. And if I get into that, I can make anything and do anything I want to in this reality, essentially. So that is the place where I need to learn not only how do I get there in the first phase, how do I get there? How do I empower that? But the second phase, what do I do now that I'm there? And those are the two phases we teach at the curriculum at the school, which is essentially let's get to clarity. And then let's use the inspirational, aspirational, intention-based creative principle to make things in that space, make life happen the way we want, because we're being asked to learn how the creation process is happening so we can mimic it, not just we can watch it. It doesn't need to be watched. It needs to be danced with. Never do we go and have one partner dance and the other one sit there and just watch. It's me and the universe creating together. And that's the beauty of it. It's human beings creating together. It's the universe creating together. And we first have to get away from the egoic, unconscious mental system, the body-brain vehicle, that whole thing that's been created that really doesn't exist, that we've been attached to, the me, my, mine kind of thing that doesn't need to go away, but the attachments to it need to be lessened so that I can really establish myself in the peacefulness so that in phase two, I can bloom in creation. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So freedom then is the key. Once we get to that state of unsurpassed absorption, we've kind of gained our freedom back, and then we can co-create. What exactly can we do or should we do, and why or for whom? Who would we do this for? Another? For ourselves? I mean, we're trying to better our world and our life, but a lot of that, well, at least in the duality frame, we blame on the environment and others around us. And if we're emanating that change, is there a way to help others to change? Or do they have to be aware of this also?
There's so many beautiful thoughts there. I love the way you took that question. So you're right that there's seemingly other sentient beings around me that are influencing the rhythms that occur to me too. So while I may be able to rest in this space of creation, if the people around me are not in that same space, they're influencing my space too. They're part of it, especially when I start to knock down the walls of the egoic, illusory identity that we've, you know, seemed to manage to consistently recreate in each moment. But once that starts to get knocked down and I don't have any investments anymore in like the promotion of me, that goes away, then suddenly everyone else is really important to me and I feel them and I'm concerned with them. And if I'm in a space where I'm riding through that stillness, and I know that there's the operation of creation there, my first inclination is to create things better for them because I really don't have any lack in that space. I feel complete there. So I'm okay, but I know they're not. I feel that differential in vibration and I know, oh, you know what? As a tree, I might be doing great, but this plant next to me, they need water. So the first thing I create is water, right? And this is how it works. We sort of feel and operate in that creative process and approach toward the influences that surround us. And since it's no longer just about me, that goes away. So who's it about now? Others. And because it's about others, we reach out and we care and we're concerned and we're compassionate. And that's why there's always two pieces to this evolutionary path. There's the piece of wisdom or clarity, and there's the piece of heartfelt connection or devotion or compassion or whatever you want to call it. There's the spirit and soul side, or in alchemy, they say the king and queen, the holy matrimony, these kinds of terms. They're always used because one is I'm clear mentally, like I have no investments here and I'm okay. So however you act or react is okay by me. I get it. I understand completely. I've been there. No problem. But there's also the other piece of it, which is the spirit piece, which is the way I feel and my intention energy and my spiritual energy toward you. And if I feel that missing vibration where you're not like me, in that happy space, or you're suffering or in need, or you believe this false lacking, I want to go in and try to remedy that, and I'll help you through that. We need more people like that in the earth today. We need more people connected and caring on that kind of level today, and I promise you the world will change in a drastic way. And the problem is we don't see the illusion of self, and we don't understand that we have the ability to create. So we just sort of accept things as they are, and we say life is short, then you die, you know. That's it. And life is just not a great thing. It's a place of suffering and just got to accept it. That's absolutely wrong. Everything we need is within every single person already. The state's already there and the creative process is already there and everyone's already doing it. We just have to wake up to it and understand it a little bit better. So the first thing to answer your question we create is usually the ability to touch other people in a way that helps them. And that's because we care about them. And if I'm out of the equation, the only thing left to care about is you, because I'm okay. It doesn't matter whether you thank me, like me, whether you don't like me, whether you hate me, whether you appreciate anything. That's really irrelevant to me because there's no me. What I care about is that you're doing okay. And that has to be, first and foremost, the place that humans rise to, that kind of evolution. Because if I remove myself out of the space and I care about you and you eventually rise up and remove yourself out of the space, we operate in pure unity, then the world's a beautiful place to live. And right now we're all operating in an exclusive nature, not inclusive. We're all exclusive from each other. And that's why there's so much tension. And that's why there's so much warring and hate and arguing and suffering and depression, delusion, et cetera, et cetera.
Indeed, it is a world of much pain these days. Hopefully we will head another way soon.
Kevin, if we don't change our nature, if we don't move forward this way, it will get worse. There's no question. That's just the way that the laws of nature function. If we don't wake up, it's sort of like if we're being resuscitated and we're having a heart attack and the minor ways of resuscitating us aren't working, the defibrillator comes out and they start charging us with electricity, right? And they start zapping our body. It's just a desperation. It's the same way our world is right now. If we don't begin to understand this process and find this sweet spot, and we don't become these create relators where we create and relate to the environment around us and to each other, then we're going to have more tension, more stress, more pain, because nature is saying to us, you have to wake up. And not just wake up to understand your neighborhood, your government, your system, your friends, these things. This isn't waking up, but waking up to understand your internal sweet spot, the place where creation begins, the stillness place, and to understand that the movement of thoughts and reactions and speech and all kinds of macrocosmic environmental conditions, these things are never going to influence that stillness space. The stillness space influences them. So we can't go out there and make change. We have to go within for the change. And we're trying to scream and shout and war outside from the body-brain vehicle. It ain't going to happen. It never has. It's not just my word. You can look through the history of man and see the greatest minds in the world have tried to make massive change to the earth. And yet today, after all of that struggle and strife, we have the same exact problems. We're still suffering with, what is the purpose? What am I doing here? How do I go forward? How do I stop making these mistakes and errors? And how do I get clear? It's the same problems. So it's not going to happen from out there. It has to happen from within. And we just need to understand the really big question of how. And that's what we're getting.
Beautiful. Thank you, Daishi. Are there any bigger, broader thoughts you would like to expand on within this topic, the hidden secrets of creating reality?
Sure. I'm going to keep it simple because of the nature of the media here, but let's just say that there are several very specific processes that have been understood and tested and used throughout time. We might call these the mystical processes that people have understood, come to understand, come to utilize, and come to perfect over time. And these teachings and this wisdom is very specific, and it's also very universal. It's also something that fits within all religions and all major mystical orders and traditions and cultures. But that system has to be understood. If that key process isn't understood, then it's like trying to build an aircraft without any instructions, having never seen it before. You're just kind of guessing, and it's going to be very hard to fall back into. So you need a structure. You need to understand, okay, I need to go from point A to point B to C all the way to Z. I have to have a map here because I don't know how to move left to right. I'm not sure what the problem is. And certainly being within it, it's hard for me to see it and find it. So it's good to have a structure. And what we're providing is a structure. We're showing you how you can go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. And we explain not only the whole path in a map so you can see it from start to finish, but also the week by week, month by month teachings of it. So you can say, okay, here's how we're going to get from A to B and B to C and then out to Z inevitably. So this is important. Without that piece, the problem is today, people believe that if I just sit down or if I meditate or do some yoga or do whatever, it's just going to come to me and I'm going to get it all. That hasn't happened. We've seen it tried time and time again. It doesn't work. And without some good guidance and understanding of it, unfortunately, we're going to continue generation after generation with people struggling with it. And it will just become tools of mysticism and meditation simply to make your life a little more focused, a little bit more joy, a little bit more clarity, but not really to understand that you are in the creation process and how that process actually functions clearly and practically. And that's something that we provide. So this is the key, is really having a firm grasp and understanding that spanda principle, that pulsation principle. How does this function within me? How do I find it? And what do I do when I get there? And I urge people to test it, try it, get involved with it, and see how it works for you. But find it one way or another, because without understanding it clearly, you're going to be in deep water and the tensions and struggles will get worse.
We're all very excited to see the new curriculum we've been talking about come out on drewcomlo.com. Do you have any news regarding that?
We are launching it, actually, and finally ready to put it out. So it's going live anytime now. Probably by the time of this broadcast, it will be live, and the map will also accompany it so you can see the whole process through. And we have several new interesting additions to our podcast that we have some interview called The Cauldron coming out that'll be really interesting, where we interview some of the practitioners in a fun way. I'm talking about my personal process in the vault section, where we go into the intimacy of my personal path and the ups and downs of my life. And really the point of all of the extracurricular activity inside the site is so that people understand this is for everyone. This isn't just for mystical giants or people who, you know, happen to stumble into it and they're the elect or elite. No, it's for every human being. Every single person has access to this. Now, you just have to understand it and put it into process. There's a little bit of undoing there. That's all. We have to kind of back up out of the unconscious system and then start moving back into it consciously. And for some people, that takes a little bit of work. For other people, not so much. Everyone's individual in that respect. But every human being, every single human being is endowed with this gem of wisdom within their heart. They just need to know how to get there. So I'd like people to allow us to let us lead you there, please, so that we can make this place a much happier and more pleasant experience for everyone.
Thank you, Daishi. Thank you so much for joining us today and for everything you do for this group and for the website and everyone on this planet.
You are so welcome. I love you guys so much, and I'm so happy to be a part of this change and the revolution that is trying to come to the understanding of who we are and what we're here for. It's a beautiful time, and there's a lot of change on the horizon. I'm very excited to see it play itself out.
That's great. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please email us at radio@drewcomma.com. You can also find us in all the usual places on social media. Just search for Drew Comma Teachings. The transcript for this show is also available on drewcomma.com. Thank you for joining us for today's show. We look forward to seeing you next time.